This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Spiegel, of this afternoon show, doing the first Score broadcast of the year in Pat Hughes's place. He did a great job once again, but he got himself into a nightmare scenario. It sure sounded to me, it would appear that he had forgotten the engineer's name.
It's a crazy, crazy baseball world. Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job, as he always does. Thank you so much. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh.
Second thank you, hoping that the name's going to come to him on the second thank you.
What's his first name?
You're supposed to know that.
Sorry. Is that offensive?
We know the engineer.
Yeah, I think
Walt. Walt Ellis.
He's been helping visiting radio, I think, since I was a White Sox board op back when we had the White Sox. Speaks. Come on.
You should know his name.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here? You should know his name. You have to ask Billy Russo what his name is? What are we doing here?
I mean, this is a guy who was in the military. I mean, he demands respect.
The guy you're looking for is an ex-commando. He killed 16 Chechen rebels single-handed.
He was with the Interior Ministry.
You're not going to believe this. He killed 16 Czechoslovakians. The guy was an interior decorator.
His house looked like
Man, it was great. But no, I enjoyed, like I said, I heard the majority.
No, I did a great job.
He did.
of as we bash him right as the radio show begins.
Well, just for the one thing, not for his performance in the game, just for so disrespectfully not remembering the name of the man who got him on the air.
Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job.
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, say my name.
Walt. Walt is the man.
You're damn right.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Ah, you must remember the names of the engineer. You must write them down, or else you end up like me, frantically hoping for help during sign-off, trying to give everybody their due. Walt Ellis did a great job and goes back a long way in helping this station out in an engineering sense. Whoops. See, it's hard. If I did say his name, I probably would have pronounced it right. You know.
What about Frank Beaver?
Who's that?
Another engineer, I think, that's really good, that Mac was telling us about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Frank Beaver.
I didn't catch that.
Oh.
Interesting.
Frank Beamer, the former head coach at Virginia Tech? No? Oh, That's too bad. Oh, not him. Oh, somebody else. I don't know. That's Shane Reardon. Chris Tannehill is also here. Layla Rahimi is also here. She's been really good today, and it's been fun to have her on the show, on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I've just been laughing the whole time.
That's good. That works.
And we get to talk about baseball. This is the most baseball I've talked about in months.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of baseball that we want to talk about. And we do. We want to talk about the Angels roster. And let's do that at the end of this segment, okay?
Yes.
Trust us, people. You want to hear us talk about the Angels roster.
If nothing else, just to make ourselves happy.
We're going to do it. But before we get there...
Seam heads.
Before we get there, we need to touch on a couple of Bears things. Since I have last had a chance to have these airwaves in a talk show since, they've gotten rid of DeMarcus Walker, who is a fine guy, seemingly.
He's a guy.
And just a replacement level defensive end who can hold the edge a little bit against the run. He can rush the passer a little bit, really just a little bit. And he made just a normal amount of NFL money. That's all fine and good. But that's not a person that you want to invest in moving forward on a good team and a good defense. So I applaud the release of DeMarcus Walker.
They have to free up more money to simply shore up both lines, right? And the other one is Gerald Everett, who RIP to your half-wheel route in the flat that Caleb Williams, even though Everett only played, what, 22% of the offensive snaps, still chose him too many times as a read.
8 receptions.
Not that I'm mad about it. Yeah, but how many targets?
Yeah.
How many targets? It was way more than 8, because I can't tell you how many times I was like, why are you throwing to him?
Man.
For him to get 2 yards?
That's a good question. How many targets for Gerald Everett? I'll look it up
right now. Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know. But And I'm not mad necessarily at Gerald Everett. It was just a function of that offense and what was going on. But either way, Too many targets compared to Cole Kmet for me that Gerald Everett had.
13 targets in 2024.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. Because Cole Kmet had like 3.
Guys.
Not 3, but we all know he wasn't targeted enough this season. I'm okay with it.
Their offensive vision was such trash.
I mean, it was always the right side, like a curved route to the flat, where he's just like 2 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, why?
The team building and the offensive coordination and the fact that the head coach, Eberflus, had no offensive philosophy whatsoever. My God.
He's in a better place now. He's in Dallas. He seems pretty happy about it.
And we're in a better place. And we did Ben's Vision last week. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Ben's Vision,
where we talk about Ben Johnson's vision and think about this roster from the perspective of Ben Johnson, as it should be, and looked at the tight end usage. And remember that in terms of tight ends, the Detroit Lions used 2 tight ends, 12 personnel, so much more than the Bears did.
And they also, when they needed them to block, actually used them to block.
Oh, absolutely. And he used a lot of tackles as extra tight ends as well. In terms of 12 personnel in the NFL, the Lions were 3rd. In terms of usage.
Wait, so who is 1 and 2?
I could look that back up. But they were 11% above the league average in terms of...
Maybe Kansas City?
How many times they used that that 12 personnel with 2 tight ends. The Bears were way down at 19%. And even 13 personnel, the Lions were 9th at 3.5%. 3 tight ends. So they need tight ends that they can trust as both blockers and receivers. And Gerald Everett, you ain't it. So right now it's Cole Kmet and God knows who else. There is going to be
some dude.
Oh, Mike Valenti told us last week, there will be so many tight ends in and out of this roster on paper and during OTAs and during camp. They are going to load up on tight ends, as they should, and try to figure out who are the guys that they're going to use, because they will use a lot of them. And I'm glad that one of them is not Gerald Everett.
You're going to find 17 tight ends. I hope you're ready.
It's Mike Valenti. That's awesome.
I do love Mike Valenti. I do think that there was one of the years of Getsy where the Bears decided to carry more tight ends than usual. And I think maybe that is the concept, although we know how that was executed once, you know, push came to shove there. Maybe pun intended because of the blocking. But here's where it gets sexy time.
Okay.
The Bears, according to overthecap.com, now have 79,758,403 dollars of open cap space.
That's a lot, man.
That's fourth in the league. You know how much the Patriots have? Do you remember we were like, the Bears have $110 million of open cap space? We're the richest people ever.
Yeah.
And then we partied. Do you remember that?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, the Patriots have $128 million in cap space.
And now they've got a head coach who maybe some people will say, that's the guy I want to go play for. And a young quarterback who some players might think is somebody they want to be a part of.
Raiders are second with 99, just over 90. It's like 99.5. But here's where it gets interesting. Commanders are third at 82.
God, that's crazy.
So, you know, I think when you consider the season they've had and the quarterback and how established Jaden Daniels was and the fact that they got to the title, you know, the NFC title game, man, that is enticing, I think, for a lot of free agents, too.
Big-bodied wide receiver for Jaden Daniels. Go out and get him. I mean,
nice little compliment to Terry McLaurin, you know, like a guy who's possession over the middle.
I mean, if
shake and bake with the diversity there.
If T. Higgins doesn't stay in Cincinnati,
I think he stays in Cincinnati.
Probably, but go ahead and reset the market if you're Washington.
Sean Desai, by the way, reportedly going to Cincinnati.
As the defensive coordinator?
No. Let me see. No, okay. It was definitely an assistant.
Because Sean Desai, it's pretty hilarious, is the, you know, was the imitation Vic Fangio that they tried in Philly.
Senior defensive role is the report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.
That's awesome.
I do understand. Like, I remember Sam Acho giving an overwhelming vote to Sean Desai saying he was the closest you were going to get to Fangio. And I understand why it was said at the time. So I didn't hate it at the time.
But it didn't work because of the people skills. Well, you know? Yeah, because like Fangio has those in terms of teaching and coaching, and Desai came from an analyst perspective, and you know, I mean, it's a totally different smoke when you're the head boss of a defense like that.
Yeah, I feel like a million years has passed since then. Like Brandon Staley just made the news recently. You remember that whole deal?
Yeah.
Staley's coaching tree in existence was a very hot commodity.
So I'm interested to see what they do from a tight end perspective. There's not a lot of great free agent tight ends out there. In terms of top tier, they'll certainly draft one, but there will be a couple more. That there will certainly be a couple more, and it's not like you can move on from Cole Kmet, or necessarily you'd even want to.
No.
But with all the tight end needs out there, and because this free agent class isn't much in that way,
I have been critical of Cole Kmet on the station, especially in his younger years when he was, I think, a little more of a liability when it came to holding on to the ball. But I understand what happened to him this season. I think he got asked to block quite a bit. We know how he was used in this offense. I want to give him another year of just honest chance. I'm not saying don't add to the roster around him. That would be a mistake. Like Valenti said, add what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tight end heavy. Cool. Like, happy about that. An offense is not made on one or two players alone, as we know. But I just really want to see how his role changes with Ben Johnson at the helm. Like, that is something that I'm very much looking forward to. That is my vision for Ben's vision. I know it's not part of it tomorrow, but still.
It's good, though. It's a good, healthy vision. In terms of free agents, by the way, Mike Gesicki, who can catch but isn't much of a blocker. Zach Ertz, who's really good but is old, and I bet Washington, with all that cap space, is going to want to keep Zach Ertz because he and Jaden Daniels had developed a thing. All right, you mentioned a front office promotion. And for the Bears, and Matt Feinstein is the guy who got that promotion. Matt Feinstein joined the Bears in 2022 and was promoted to Vice President of Football Administration, according to the team, as they announced on Friday. He was the Director of Football Administration. So you get a VP role that comes with money, it comes with a nicer title, and they get to keep a guy that they care a lot about and reward him a little bit.
I saw that news before. I saw the news that Ian Cunningham was not going to be the one in Jacksonville. I know he got interviewed for the GM job there, and we were trying to figure out who was going to get it. And I did wonder if that move was made in case Ian Cunningham left. Feinstein reportedly, according to Brad Biggs, is in charge of managing the salary cap and negotiating contracts. That's a huge role in a front office.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody that we should probably know. And that's how I feel about trying to figure out the front office roles on the team. And we've talked a lot about the coaching staff. It's finally finalized. That's good. But we still need to figure out who is not just Ian Cunningham in this front office for the Bears. We know Ryan Poles, but there's other minds here that I think are very important in all of this.
And Feinstein was on the calls. He was one of the six people, who were on the interview calls, and he was in the back taking notes. But remember, I had some real good sources during that process and was reporting before others and before the thing got finalized, just how impressed Ben Johnson's people were and other candidates' people were with the Bears process, that this was a different experience than it was when they ended up with Eberflus. A very different thing. There was no other agents driving the thing like Trace Armstrong did. And there was an efficiency and a quality of the interview process that was really, really good. And then when it came time to sign Ben Johnson, and we heard his agent on The Score talk about this, just
Rick Smith,
how above and beyond the Bears went and George McCaskey went in terms of the money involved and also the level of control and the level of vision that will be allowed. Like, the Bears have gone outside their comfort zone, and they've got a head coach who's going to be at the top of the football philosophy food chain for the first time probably since Mike Ditka.
Yeah, I still am wrapping my head around it, to be honest.
It's a big deal.
When you put it that way, it's still like, this is the new world order, and I'm not entirely sure how this is going to go. It sounds good. I'm scared in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, this is the new world order, but I think it's the right one for the NFL. Don't
you?
It is,
of course. And famously reported by Kalen Kaler, it wasn't that Trace Armstrong necessarily forced anybody on anyone, although we know his influence on the Bears organization up to this point. But the concept of Poles not hiring Eberflus, they had the same agent. They met at a golf event.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he didn't know about the guy. They just shoved him on him. Like,
right.
Poles took responsibility. I don't know how many times we have to say that as well, but I feel like that's something that is floating around that we have to reiterate.
Well, I think we've done it. She's Leila Rahimi. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Let's hang out in this news about Justin Ishbia. Him abandoning the Twins and moving over to the White Sox. Let's find out why.
You don't want to talk about the Angels? Fine.
Oh, I forgot we were going to talk about the Angels roster. Damn it.
It's our nerdy seamheadness.
All right, we're gonna have to hold it. We can do it after our next guest. Dan Hayes is going to join us to talk White Sox ownership and the development of this story. We'll do it next on The Score.